What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. And today, we are going to be talking with Judd and Preston from Hornady Manufacturer. These guys are a bullet manufacturer. Now, self-admittedly, I know nothing about guns. I know nothing about bullets, how bullets are made, drop, distance, whatever, like all the buzzwords. And you'll hear in this episode that these guys actually have to correct some of the verbiage that I use when talking about ammunitions and bullets and whatnot. And so I don't know anything about it. These guys are the experts, but I felt like it was important to get a company like Hornady on the podcast because several of you, you know, we're not all just archers. At some point throughout the year, even myself, you know, for turkey season, I use a shotgun. And I felt like it was important to step into the firearm side of things for a day and talk with someone who's a lot smarter than me about all of this stuff. And that's what today's podcast is about. Now, on this episode, we talk about, you know, manufacturing process. We talk about casings. We talk about powder. We talk about design and innovation. And so it's a really cool episode. I definitely walked away from this episode learning a lot. Hopefully you guys do too. And that's really it, man. I'm going to keep this intro short. We got to thank the partners of the Hunting Gear Podcast right now. And that's Tethered. if you are looking for a saddle, then we definitely need to go check out Tethered. Saddle hunting accessories, platforms, saddles themselves, climbing sticks, you name it, they have it. On top of that, they have a huge community surrounding their product line. They have some new products that have just come out. You need to go check that out, tetherednation.com. So if you want to learn how to become a better saddle hunter, go check out Tethered. Hunt Stand, again, just a place. The functionality with Hunt Stand, there's a lot of it, right? So the first thing that I always recommend to people is don't take my word for it. Go to huntstand.com, read up on all the functionality, and see how this app can benefit you, right? See if it fits your needs as a hunting app. And it does a really good job, man. I mean, I'm talking about the ability to just journal everything that you see, the ability to document and organize trail cam pictures. It's just the playbook for your season. And especially if you're interested in specific caliber of animals, Hunt Stand allows you to document all of that, journal all of that. So when it comes time to get out in the woods, you have this playbook right in front of you. So go check out all the functionality and all the availability of information on huntstand.com, and I think you guys will be surprised. Last but not least, Tacticam. Tacticam is one of those companies that allows you to document your hunts. Now, if you don't know what Tacticam is, it is an action cam that can mount to your gun or your bow, and they have several other mounting brackets that you can put in the tree over your shoulder and really document your hunt. If you're the type of guy who likes to make YouTube videos, or if you're the type of guy who likes to just hit the record button so you can go home, show your wife, your kids, your brother, sister, whatever, and just show them what you've seen. It's fun to do. And so the new 6.0 version has the ability to, the new 6.0 has an LCD screen on it. It has the ability to record in 4K. It has, it has the playback function, and it has image stabilization. So no more shaky videos. If you want to find out more, go visit Tacticam's website and read up on the 6.0. That's it for commercials. I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to hop on and listen. Huge shout out to the guys from Hornady for taking time to do this episode. And on the Nine Finger Chronicles, I always talk about good vibes, right? So we're gonna have good vibes today. Good vibes in, good vibes out, and we'll talk to you after this show. All right, on the Hunting Gear Podcast with me today, we're talking with Judd and Preston from Hornady. Gentlemen, welcome to the Hunting Gear Podcast.
Hey, thank you, Dan. It's pretty cool to be chatting with you here. I've been actually a long time listener, so it's kind of neat to be on this side for once.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I will be completely honest. I'm a bow hunter, okay? And so I felt like the Hunting Gear Podcast always leans towards archery, but I know all of my listeners participate in some type of, firearm, whether that's turkeys or, many states have rifle seasons, or go out west or even just sport shooting. Okay. And so I feel like at times I'm doing them a disservice when I don't talk about firearms. And today, obviously with you guys, we're going to focus on ammunition. And so it's awesome to get you guys on and kind of break the cycle of my ignorance, so to speak. And so I'm relying on you guys a lot to be the experts today. And I'm just going to ask a whole bunch of dumb questions.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, heck yeah, we're ready for it. I'm going to jump in and say some stuff right here. All of us around the office, we do specialize on the ammunition firearm side of things, but we are hunters. So in Nebraska, where we're at, we've got a 4-month archery season.
Yeah.
So I would say the majority of us here take advantage of that, along with the rifle seasons and the muzzleloader season. So,
yeah,
we do it all.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, man. One thing I like about companies, and if you are watching this on YouTube, I'm wearing a Vortex Optics shirt. And the reason I like working with Vortex and several other companies that I work with is the simple fact that they are participants in the activity in which their product sells, right? So Vortex, a lot of their guys are outdoorsmen or sport shooters. Sounds like you guys are the same. And it's awesome because it makes a company relatable to the end user. Whereas other companies that I dealt with, you call them up and they're just like, oh, I'm sorry, I've never been in a tree stand before, or I don't know what a turkey gobble sounds like, or, you know, whatever you want to throw out there. So it's refreshing to hear, I don't know, for me anyway, it's refreshing to hear that a company like yourself has a bunch of participants working for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like any new product development, it's because we want it.
Yeah.
It's not because we think an end user wants it.
But, yeah. Right.
You know, we're all working on stuff, and if we think there's a better mousetrap that we can use, we're going to have the engineers do it.
Yeah. Well, the perk, too, in Preston and I's position on the marketing team, you know, when we do videos and things for products or how-tos, none of that is scripted. We are fortunate that we can throw our cameras on engineers, ask them a question, and they will rattle off. You know, most times it's an answer that you can understand, but
yeah,
from our side on the video, it makes our job easy a lot of the time. We've got some pretty good folks over here.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Right off the bat, engineering. Okay. And I'm looking at this behind you. I'm looking at these designs of these, this ammunition, these bullets and whatnot. So I'm green, right? I look at a bullet and I go, hey, this is a bullet, right? I put it in a gun. That matches this, and I pull the trigger and it goes off. How much R&D is done these days on new designs of ammunition? Is this something that is this a category that has plateaued, or is this is there continued innovation in this category?
Oh, it's continued innovation for sure. Brass has been used to make cartridge cases for eons at this point, and there's some experimental stuff, you know, going on with other folks in the industry for cartridge case material, but brass has been pretty static for a very long time. Now, on the other hand, powder, that does nothing but innovate these days. You know, the amount of new powders that have come out in the last 7 years since I've started here, I can't put on two hands. Bullet design is always getting better. I mean, that's what Hornady is. First and foremost, we're a bullet manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Yes, we make ammo. Yes, we make reloading tools. But the bullets make the H, is what they like to say, the Hornady. So, and I couldn't agree more. We make just an insane amount of bullets, and we're always innovating with them. Because if we can get a bullet to the target faster, or with less wind, or with less drop, or with more efficiency, we're going to do it. So the ballisticians are always working on new bullets design. The powder companies are always doing new powder designs as well and coming up with new stuff there. So we have not plateaued at all, I'd say, in the ammunition world.
Well, I would even add on to that as far as, you know, the tools that our engineering staff have available that, you know, now compared to what it used to be. You know, as long as they get the okay from down the hall, which is pretty easy process, you know, if we can use a tool, Doppler radar, for say, you know, we've done so much with that thing. And the fact that Doppler radar is being used to track bullets is just, it blows my mind. But so, yeah, it's never ending.
Okay, so now you have to explain that. You can't just go, hey, we use Doppler radar. You gotta explain to me how you guys use Doppler radar in your R&D.
Sure. So in prior years, you would use acoustic microphones or shoot through chronographs and things like that, and you'd set them up downrange, right?
Okay.
For an archery example, let's say you'd set one up at 20, you'd set one up at 60, like if you were going to do this with archery, which, you know, you can use a chronograph for archery, but typically it's at the bow, right? Mm-hmm. But we want to know what the bullet's doing downrange, because we need to calculate a ballistic coefficient for it, and now we're actually using a drag curve for it. But in the old days, a ballistic coefficient, you plug that into your ballistics calculator with a muzzle velocity and some weather conditions, and it would spit out, you know, I need to hold this high, or I need to, you know, come up this much in my scope to hit a target downrange. It's mm-hmm. not just put the crosshairs on it and pull the trigger. We're shooting long distance, right? The Doppler can actually track the bullet the entire length of its flight. I believe it's like, I can't remember the number, but it's like,
well, every couple feet, 2 to 3 feet.
Like every less than a yard, it can track a bullet for a couple thousand yards.
Wow.
So what we can find out with that is, A, number one, an entire drag curve for a bullet. So we know what it's going to do the whole time. Where in the past, you'd only know where it's going, what it's going to do at two different distances.
Okay.
So essentially, we can get much, much more accurate things out of it.
So you're not just seeing like 2,000 yards. You're seeing the potential mile it could travel
if
you had the space.
Yeah, and it essentially kind of gave us the ability to make our ballistics program, which we call FORDOF. So if you go right now to the App Store or Google Play Store, you can go and download the Hornady Ballistics app with FORDOF. And if you have a bullet that you're using that's in our FORDOF library and you put accurate inputs in it, it'll give you accurate outputs to as far as you can imagine shooting for the most part.
Okay.
And that's a free app.
For free.
Okay, awesome. All right, so kind of taking a backward step there now, and I want to talk a little bit about the components of a bullet, okay? Obviously, you have the casing, the powder, like both ends of it or whatever. So what is it about the materials that make up the component that make a quality ammunition?
Kraft mac and cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft mac and cheese, best thing ever.
Well, like I said, powder technology has gotten so much better over the last few years. So essentially, there's appropriate burn rates for all cartridges of powders, right? So we want to use an appropriate burn rate powder in the cartridge that gives it good accuracy. And then number two, I think for the most part, we're looking for temperature stability, right? Back in the day, you'd go get some surplus powder and you'd shoot it at 30 degrees and it would be, let's, for an example, say 3,000 feet per second. But then you go shoot it at 100 degrees and it's 3150. So temperature swings via just powder itself can actually cause some issues. So temperature stable powders, you know, you might be seeing 0.2 to 0.7 feet per second increase or decrease per degree of external, you know, temperature. So you got to use temperature stable powders, a good bullet. We hand inspect all of our cartridges here still to this day, which is kind of crazy in today's age, but right out there, if we walked outside of the studio and walked down the stairs, there's a whole mess of people hand inspecting ammunition that looks like jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, we're also testing bullets as we make them. Start of run, we have accuracy expectations or accuracy goals, or not goals, but
yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Crying out loud.
Just a criteria.
The bullet has to make in order for the press to go off and run.
Okay.
And then if something happens on the press, we send it back down to the lab and it gets shot again. It's got to meet accuracy. And then we do the same thing with ammunition as well.
Okay. And so walk us through kind of how you measure that. You know, I envision a guy with a gun on the factory line pulling a trigger and testing the bullet to see if it goes off and does what it's supposed to do. And then throughout the day, you have the same amount. So you see the accuracy or the consistency in the manufacturing process. Is that how it's done? Or how do you actually test quality?
So for down in the lab in our main facility, we've got a 200-yard indoor underground tunnel.
Perfect.
So free of any exterior factors. The guys will actually load up the bullets in cartridge cases, and then we've got an accuracy fixture that takes 1.2 or 1.25 straight contour barreled actions, and they'll put it in the accuracy fixture so that thing's not moving, and then it's got actually a pneumatic trigger so they can close the door fire it off behind closed doors, and they'll shoot it for accuracy in an indoor tunnel.
Yeah, so it's not quite as fun as one may think.
Yeah.
We used to give tours back a few years back, and everybody would go down to the tunnel on the tours and say, man, you guys got the best job in the world shooting guns all day. And it's like, well, we're really just pushing this button right here.
Yeah. Do it for 8 hours and then tell me how you like it.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Now, kind of going back to the components, what makes a quality powder?
As far as powder goes, I mean, we're probably not the experts on that. But to me, I've always had good luck as a hand loader with extruded base or extruded single base powders. Single base seems to be a little bit more temperature stable, maybe a little less temperamental. But essentially, there's certain powders that are historically accurate powders in cartridges. One, for example, being H4350. I'm sure you've probably heard of the 6.5 Creedmoor. We like to say it's the overnight success that took 10 years.
Yeah.
That was actually introduced in 2007 for 2008. And until I got to Hornady, I hadn't heard of it.
Huh.
But it's obviously hugely popular now. But H4350 works really well in that particular cartridge case. Reloader 16 works extremely well. IMR 4350. It just, a certain burn rate seems to work really well for a certain sized cartridge pushing a certain weight of bullet.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
And on the bullet side of things, you know, we could probably talk about that just a little bit. You know, just like anything, I would say, you know, consistency is king. Mm-hmm. You know, so as far as accuracy goes, if you got a little something wonky on a jacket on one bullet versus the other, you know, they're definitely not going to fly the same. So consistency, and I mean, that goes out to, I'm not exactly sure how often it is that we change our tooling on the press, but you know, if there's accuracy issues going on, you know, they'll either fix the tooling or it'll be all new tooling, because that'll wear, you know, right, on the press as it goes. But you know, overall, in my opinion, you know, looking at it from layman's terms, you know, consistency, and that goes for, you know, the bullet's actual weight as well.
Right. Okay. You mentioned earlier, now just so I'm clear here, you guys use another company's powder to put in your bullets, and you guys do that at your factory and then ship them out.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So before that, you mentioned something about, you know, brass has been kind of king for several years, or, you know, for eons or whatever. And talk to us about why that is. And then also talk to us about some of the new materials that are being used in bullet creation these days.
Well, brass is a number one. It's the right hardness, essentially, for what we need it to do. We need it to be strong yet slightly elastic, mm-hmm, right? Because when we fire that cartridge in the chamber, it swells to the chamber walls, and then it has to be able to shrink back just a little bit, right? So it's got that a little bit of elasticity. Copper would be too soft. You can use steel, although it doesn't shrink as much. With thinner walled cartridge cases, maybe like a 223 or 762 or 39, stuff that you'd typically see steel cases with, you can get by with it. But brass is just the right material for what we need to do. Hard enough, yet has the right amount of springiness to it.
Okay.
And new materials, we haven't really got into that. There's some other companies out there talking, like, I want to say polymer. I mean, we haven't got into it, but the other companies have. They're on a very small scale.
Gotcha. So your guys' main focus is brass then still.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha. What is it about the design? Because obviously pulling a trigger, you know, causes an explosion, all right, a controlled explosion. What is it about your guys' design, or just designs of bullets in general, get that keeps that explosion controlled and consistent, firing the projectile and not just blowing the gun up?
Well, let's just fix the terminology there. It's not an explosion.
Okay.
A primer is an explosive, right?
Okay.
But what it does is it ignites a burn of powder.
Gotcha.
Now, all that's happening very quickly, right? Sometimes at 65,000 pounds of pressure, but it is a burn rather than an explosion.
Good to know.
And the pressure, I mean, that's set by Sammy standard. So,
right.
You know, there's a standard out there that all ammo manufacturers have to stick to be within Sammy spec.
So, yeah, Sammy is a Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute. So, Remington, Winchester, Federal, Hornady, Browning, you know, anybody that makes a gun or ammunition on a large scale for the most part are members of Sammy. And so Sammy has a set stack of tolerances for cartridge case and chamber dimensions, and then also pressure limits that they have to be upheld to. And we all share like reference ammunition and stuff. So if Federal wants to make one of our case designs, they can, and we have reference ammunition so that they can set their pressure barrels to the appropriate level.
Yeah.
You know, make sure everybody's operating the same way.
Gotcha. All right. So there's the composition of a bullet. You know, there's so many different variations of, you know, different bullets out there. What seems to be, and I know there's, I mean, this is just like Pandora's box at this point, where like we can talk about, it can go any direction. And so I'm just going to ask a very high level question. How do you guys determine what type of ammunition you're going to design and manufacture every year in order to kind of meet the needs of Hornady's customers?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because we're spread out across the world, right? We're a worldwide company. So what people need in Europe is different than what guys in Utah need, you know, wildly different. What guys in Iowa need is wildly different than what Western hunters need for the most part.
Right.
So yeah, we have to play a balancing game. Obviously we don't have a press for every ammo SKU that we make. That would be really neat and an operator to run it, but it's just not the reality. So, obviously we've seen what's selling, what the demand is for, what, is on order, so we're able to keep track of that. But you know, we have to have 243 for guys east and west, and we have to have 300 PRC for guys out west. And I don't know, I think our sales team does a really good job of allocating that stuff, you know, when it does get made, and putting it out all over the different places. That way everybody has a chance to do it. But over the last few years we've been behind just like everybody else as far as not being able to get enough stuff made. So we've always got heavy hitters, you know, 6 ARC, 6 Creedmoor, 6.5 PRC, 6.5 Creedmoor, 300 PRC. Those are constantly being run. 308 still huge, you know, but everything gets its turn.
Right.
Except for, I'd say, in times like we've had in the last few years, some of the almost obsolete cartridges that we like to keep around, you know, those might get run every couple of years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, and then that's a tough job on the ammo manufacturing side of things. And then even our sales crew allocating to certain customers and whatnot. And I don't envy that. You know, some of the phone calls I'm sure that they've had, and yeah, it's tough, but you know, it seems to be getting a little better here now that we're a couple of years out of the craze.
Yeah. What was it? Because I know there was a crazy ammunition shortage on a variety of different ammunitions. My dad was complaining that he couldn't get some bullets. I know, I believe it was like 9mm was hard to find for a while. What caused that, and is it rebounding?
Well, there's several factors that caused it, I would say. But number one, you know, COVID-19 came about.
Yep.
People were freaking out. There's riots and all this stuff, right? So I believe in 2019 or 2020, whatever the year was, there were 7 million new gun owners.
Yeah.
And so those people all need ammo too. And typically, you know, you get a new gun, you might get a couple boxes. Well, talk at the gun store is like, well, ammo's hard to get, so let's get as much as we can.
Yep.
And then that happened with the already existing gun owners. You know, people that would buy a couple boxes are buying a case.
Right.
But it's just compounding.
Change of the political office, you know, that switched over from one side to the other. So there was a little bit of bump in, you know, purchases there just because of the scarcity. You know, you don't know when you're going to lose it. So, you know, people were buying because of that. Yeah, but the gun owners was a huge part of it too. But
yeah, just when things get weird like that, I mean,
you guys seem guys to do like pretty us. Good. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but yeah. guys like us that love to shoot, we're worried about getting it in the future, so we get as much as we can. It gets bad, but yeah, I would definitely say it's rebounding some. I think 9mm and 223, you know, those commodity type ammos are, I walk into Sportsman's, I see a whole freaking rack of them at this point. I think those are caught up on, and that's allowing everybody to get the other stuff made
again. Okay. You brought up a good point there, Judd, about the political climate and how that can sometimes control ammunition or gun sales and things like that. Do you guys ever have to, when it comes down to like your design and, saying, okay, well, hey, we got this great idea. Are there any laws in place or steps that you have to go through politically or regulation wise before you sell ammunition to make sure it meets, I don't know, like the rules and regulations set for ammunition?
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
Maybe Preston could say something, but on the actual manufacturing or design of a product, you know, we hit on Sammy earlier, you know, as long as it's a safe product.
Yeah.
But I would say the issues that we're running into are almost more on the marketing side now.
Okay.
Of, you know, targeted marketing, and there's a lot of stuff going on in California. You know, we're always having meetings about things we can and can't do in California. So I would say the marketing side is more restricted, you know, whether that be, you know, marketing to a certain age limit, you know, we can't go under whatever age, you can't target kids, you know, you can't do so much tactical type, you know, photography and video stuff. So yeah, I'd say on the marketing side, we run into more issues on, you know, that side of things, but.
Yeah, and it's literally just a political thing, it seems like, at this point, just to make it hard for us, essentially, is what they're doing.
Yeah.
As far as, like designing a new cartridge, for example, like 7PRC was done, I don't know,
years ago.
2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, and we only released it in October.
Gotcha.
Just because the timing wasn't right. You know, there's way too much demand for all the other existing stuff, so stuff like that does happen. But as long as it's approved by SAMMY, you know, which is collectively, you know, all of the ammo and gun makers, we can go ahead and do our own designs.
Okay. All right. And then let's talk a little bit, let's kind of jump into the hunting side space right now. And let's talk about some popular, you know, because obviously if you're going to shoot a rifle in the East, you may not have as far to shoot. You know, you're restricted by trees and other houses and smaller parcels. And out west, man, it seems like there's guys who are shooting. I just watched a guy shoot an elk at like 1,900 yards, which blew my mind. And I was just like, holy cow! That you could see the vapor trail and everything go. And so it was a cool shot. But talk to us a little bit about some of your most popular ammunition for, let's say, guys east of the Mississippi who are hunting whitetails.
Yeah, I would say 450 Bushmaster is our most, you know, it's in the top five of rifle cartridges every year.
Yeah.
Ever since all the straight wall stuff started happening in all the individual states, which I believe you guys are in as well.
Yep, we're a straight wall. We now have a straight wall cartridge that's allowed during our, well, I guess you would call it, the shotgun season, but so during our firearm season. So
And so Michigan was one of those as well. I believe Illinois was as well, but 450 Bushmaster seems to be hugely popular. And you're right, you know, it's hard to find a longer shot in those heavily wooded areas. So you don't really need a long ball, you know, 300 PRC, 7 PRC, something that, you know, and you say 1900 yard shot, and then my mind was just automatically thinking how much energy is left out of all the cartridges that are out there. And I'm like, that's a long shot.
Yeah.
Might have to look at that one.
Yeah. You
have to tell me off camera where it was.
So what is it about that round that makes it so popular?
I would say it was the first straight wall cartridge that was really out there, that was modern, that would fit in an AR-15. That's probably the big thing. It was designed around the AR-15.
Okay.
Post ban, you know, you can just go get them. They're ready to hunt.
Yeah.
You can put an upper on an existing AR-15, and they're stupid accurate somehow.
Well,
I don't understand it. Yeah. Like, it's a straight wall cartridge with the big old hole, but it just makes one big ragged hole most times.
And there's a lot of them out there now. We just did that podcast the other day, but I can't remember what year. 2006?
2007, I think.
2006. So yeah, like since that. 2007, there's how many 450 Bushmaster platforms out there? So
right.
You know, if people already got them, you know, that's the struggle with, you know, new cartridges. Well, you got to have the rifle too. So it's kind of a whole system where, you know, if people already have them out there, it's going to be popular for that fact right there.
Yeah. And there's some new guys on the scene, 350 Legend and the 400 Legend. I think there's a bunch of them out there now that are a little bit smaller and attempt to take a little bit of the recoil out. Although the 450 is not bad if you're just hunting with it, I don't think.
Gotcha. All right. Now let's shift west of the Mississippi, you know, maybe past Iowa, and we go into some of the open country in Nebraska and out west, you know, for bigger game, you know, mule deer, elk, things like that, maybe pronghorn. What seems to be the most popular round in that environment?
If I had to pick just one, I'd say 6.5 PRC.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going elk hunting, I'm taking a 7 or a 300 PRC, but I wouldn't hesitate to take my 6.5 PRC if that's all that I had. But it shoots a super high ballistic coefficient bullet, 200 feet per second faster than a 6.5 Creedmoor, still in a short action rifle. You know, so a long action cartridge, 3.340, or in the 300 PRC's case, 3.7 inches in length. This guy's down at 2.950, and it packs a punch, and it's fast, and it's flat, and it bucks the wind really well.
Okay.
Well, I would say too, it depends. I mean, if you're elk hunting, you know, you're probably using something else. If you're deer or antelope hunting, you know, I'd throw a 6.5 Creedmoor in there. It's got to be one of the more popular ones too. But then, yeah, as you get up, I mean, we've got our line of the precision rifle cartridges, starting at the 6.5, the 7, and the 300. So those have been super popular. And, you know, just the technology has changed, you know. I was going to mention a little bit when you started this question here, and, you know, just like we said at the start, the tools that we have, the engineers have, and even the consumers, the shooters have now in the last 10 years, 15 years has just blown, you know, from, you know, measuring the weather, measuring the wind speed, to the ballistic apps that we have using Doppler radar.
My first rangefinder was something I could barely afford in high school, right?
Yeah,
right.
And it would range out to like maybe 400 yards on a reflective target.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Vortex has got the Crossfire rangefinder, which is super affordable, same price, but it'll range out to what, 1,000 yards?
Yeah.
It's getting so much better, the technology.
Well, yeah, and the cartridges, you know, every cartridge has its place. As far as, you know, past cartridges go, and then even on the new side, you know, the bullets that the PRCs are shooting now and the Creedmoor are shooting now, you know, the twist rates that are spec'd for those rifles, you know, the past cartridges from a SAMI spec, you know, or for a twist rate spec, they couldn't shoot these bullets.
So they stabilize them.
Yeah, they're just too big, too heavy, but the BC goes up with that. So that's why, like you talked about the 1900 yard shot. Yeah, that's a crazy poke, but the technology that people have at their fingertips now to calculate that shot is just mind blowing.
For free for the most part, minus a rangefinder.
Is there a round, you know, so there's a whole bunch of guys. You got your experts who, you know, they're going to use different rounds in different scenarios. And then you have guys probably like me. If I was going to buy a rifle, I would buy one rifle and I would teach myself one round, like educate myself on one round that would do the most work. Is there a workhorse round that a guy could, you know, use on whitetails on the east and then take a trip out west and be successful with that round doing any western type hunt?
There's several of them, but I mean, I think the king of them right now is the 7mm PRC.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say, though, I mean, it's a lot of just preference, though, too.
It is. Yeah. It
you
is.
You said 7mm.
I said there's a lot of them.
The thing that hits me for the last 9 years, 6.5 Creedmoor. I've done almost everything with 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah, my wife shot an elk with a 6.5 Creedmoor. So, yeah, I mean, killed it stone dead, you know?
Yeah, it's a lot of just preference. I mean, there's so so.
You guys
much
ever get in fights at the office, like disagreeing oh, yeah. all the time? Like, you're wrong. 6.5 is better.
Yeah. That's all we yeah. do.
Well, and I mean, I'd go to, you know, shooters. We go to shows and we see YouTube comments and social media comments. You know, everybody has their preference. You know, there may not be one right answer. So, you know, everybody's different. And a lot of the cartridges that are out there will work just fine.
Yeah.
That's not wrong.
Yeah.
But I would say 7 PRC. What I would do.
Okay.
Well, getting on another tangent here too, though, you know, depending on that cartridge. So you say 7, I say 6.5. If I was going on a deer hunt, I'm going to choose a different bullet most likely than what I would use if I was going on an elk hunt. I would shoot a solid monolithic or CX bullet out of 6.5 for an elk, whereas if I'm going on a deer hunt, I'd either shoot the 100 grain interlock or the ELDX. So, you know, there's things you can do with a cartridge to kind of push you one way or another on what kind of game you're going after.
Okay.
And I disagree.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Because I just shoot the 175 ELDX on everything.
Yeah.
Man, it's all personal preference.
Right. I tell you, in archery they have it. I'm sure in firearms they have it. But I can remember going to a wine tasting with my wife. And we sat next to this lady who was the biggest snob. Like, this is disgusting. I will never drink a bottle of wine under $40. Well, and I'm just like, who are you? Like, you know what I mean? Does the ammunition world have ammo snobs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ammo snobs and bullet snobs.
Bullet snobs. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we see them in the comments.
And that's you?
We see you. No. But obviously, we run the YouTube channel.
Right.
You know, so we'll put out a video. It's funny. What makes a person think that they'll put a comment on a video that could potentially live in the world forever is just astonishing to me. But we'll put out a video, like a sweet video, something nice, and then totally irrespective or unrelated to the subject, somebody will throw in a dig at us and say something else is better. It's like, come on.
Like, nice shirt, buddy.
Yeah, this nice old man came to see us. Burgers better than you. No, it's like, come on. Figure it out, guys.
That's funny. One buzzword that I hear when talking about ammunition is stopping power. What is stopping power, and how does that, how do you connect that buzzword into hunting different species of animals?
Well, I would say please go to the Hornady podcast on any platform or YouTube and check out our episode, I believe 64 is Terminal Ballistics with our lead ballistician, Jaden Quinlan. Now, I will say there's essentially three systems that you need in order to kill an animal or one of them. And you have the nervous system, and that's mm-hmm. going to, that's the electric system within an animal. And that may be disrupted, but not necessarily always lethal. There's the circulatory system, which is blood, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the respiratory system, which is air, mm-hmm. right? So I would encourage you to watch that podcast. But I would say as far as stopping power,
well,
any ammo can have stopping power depending on shot placement. But a lot of times you'll see somebody shoot something on the internet and it drops, right? Well, that's because its central nervous system was disrupted somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty rare from what I've seen that something gets hit and is dead before it hits the ground. Yes, it may hit the ground, but it's not quite dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
Its lungs have to fill up with blood, and essentially you have to prevent the brain from getting oxygenated blood, mm-hmm. and that's what yeah. expires an animal.
And on the game side, yeah, Preston's right. It is very dependent with any bullet, with any cartridge, any manufacturer. You know, shot placement is extremely important. You know, just like in archery side. To break this down, you know, maybe a little bit easier to understand, we do high speed video shots of all expanding bullets. So, you know, we're looking at a nice 2 foot long by probably 10 inches block of ballistics gelatin. So, you know, from my perspective, when I'm running the camera, you know, the engineers are doing their thing, but from my perspective, you know, there's a balance, you know, depending on let's talk for a whitetail type projectile. You know, it's dumping energy as far as the expansion goes and then penetration. So you're kind of balancing, you know, maybe even three things, throw in weight retention in there. You know, you're balancing how much penetration you're getting with the weight retention of the projectile to get that penetration. And then as it's expanding, it's dumping energy to, you know, create the wider wound channel. So you're kind of balancing all that. From the ballistic gelatin side of things, from what I see, that's kind of what, you know, the juggling act is. And, you know, just to go on a little tangent here about how, you know, we may do that, Preston may be able to talk on this, but as far as the bullet design goes, you know, a bigger cavity in the front and the tip of the bullet with a polymer tip that pushes back into that cavity, well, that promotes more expansion. That pushes the jacket and some of the core out to promote expansion. There's interlock rings that we put in the bullet jacket into the lead core to kind of to stop as much as we can the expansion process for higher weight retention. And then there's solid monolithic projectiles that will have 95% weight retention that won't shed much energy. So there's a juggling act of all sorts of things to promote expansion, penetration, weight retention.
So it's a no-brainer. You shoot an animal in the heart or the lungs, and it's, you know, it hits both lungs, more than likely it's going to die. You hit them in the heart, more than likely it's going to die. You spine them and they shut off, more than likely they're going to die. But what's the most important thing when it comes to bullet performance on marginal shots, let's say like guts or on into a heavy bone like front shoulder in front of the in vitals or even back in the ham?
Oh, I would say a front shoulder shot versus a gut shot are opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
Right.
Depending on the critter, you know, if you say it's on an elk, mm-hmm. right, that scapula is actually pretty darn thick and tough.
Yep.
So as long as you get penetration through that scapula and into some lungs and have temporary wound cavity made after it goes through, depending on bullet design, it's going to be a lethal hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you, like you said, if you get into that second lung, chances are it's done, right? But right. if it goes through and just blows up, maybe gets one lung or zero lungs, that's not a dead animal. It's not a dead critter. Whereas if you were shooting a monolithic bullet that Judd was talking about, gets 100% weight retention for the most part and penetrates through 36 inches of gelatin, it's going to go through that shoulder, still create a temporary wound cavity that's quite impressive and a permanent wound cavity that causes, you know, the lungs to fill up and respiratory system to be done, right? So that's a dead critter. Gut shots are a little bit tricky, right? If you don't get a massive amount of blood loss, or disrupt anything in the central nervous system, there's a chance that you're not going to find that critter, and maybe it'll die days later, but you will have, it'll have lost you by then.
Okay. And so is there, you know, the hard part here is breaking, like, if I knew that I was going to shoot an animal in the gut, I would want this bullet.
Sure.
It, versus if I knew I was going to shoot him in the gun, or excuse me, in the lungs, I would want this bullet. Is there a performance difference, or as far as hunters are concerned, do we just go, hey, this is the best for a vital shot?
Well, obviously the vital shot's what we want, but I would say, yeah, if you get a lead core bullet that's actually going to lose a little bit of its weight and dump energy, if you shoot it in the guts and maybe a piece of that bullet travels outside of the wound cavity and hits the spine,
mm-hmm.
that's obviously ideal. Or a piece of it goes off into a lung. That's going to help. Whereas a monolithic's just going to go right through it.
Gotcha. So the way I was, right when you said that, Dan, the what crossed my mind, let's compare it to archery, fixed blades and expandables.
Oh, my, what are you doing here, Judd? You're starting something.
Well, but I'm saying, you know, because I've you know, toyed with each one. What do I shoot? This and that.
Yep.
And as far as fixed blade and expandables, the way I'm going to compare the bullet side of things, I actually lean the same way, fixed blade, expandables. So I would compare, again, layman's terms here, but I would compare a fixed blade broadhead just similar to a monolithic, one okay. of the solid projectiles. So, I mean, that's going to get you the penetration. It's going to get you a nice wound cavity mm-hmm. also, but it's going to get you the penetration. So then on the expandable broadhead side, I would go with more of a traditional cup and core, lead core projectile that is designed to dump energy to expand rapidly. You know, you may not have that high weight retention on the back end. I mean, it'll still be 50, 60%.
And you may not get the penetration that you would.
But that is going to dump energy and shock and trauma, you know, a bit more than what that solid projectile will do. So to compare a little bit, you could maybe make those comparisons. And for just me, I like the shock, the expansion, you know. So I tend to go with the more traditional style lead core bullets. And on the archery side, I go with an expandable broadhead. So, you know, again, it's just preference. But I think you could make that comparison between the two.
That's a fair analogy.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, it actually makes sense to me. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
I don't feel so dumb right now. And so, Preston, I saw you smiling there. It sounds like, do you again disagree, and do you like the monolithic round?
So when I'm rifle hunting, I like a lead core bullet.
Okay.
I really do. The expandable type. When I'm bow hunting, I'm a fixed blade guy.
Okay.
Well, now you're going to have to rethink that.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to stick to fixed blades.
Gotcha. All right. So let's talk about Hornady overall then. As far as a guy who's listening to this, and they may be shooting another brand right now, but they're listening to us talk and they're like, well, you know, I'm interested in Hornady. What is it about Hornady that makes what you feel guys makes you so special or might set you apart from the rest of the companies out there who do the same thing you do?
I think you have to start with the history a little bit. You know, we're started in 1949 by Joyce Hornady, who wanted a better bullet for himself. Just like we were talking, if we in the office want something, we'll just make it. And a lot of times it becomes a product. Well, that's what he was doing. Post-World War II, right? he unfortunately died in a plane crash on the way to SHOT Show in 1981.
Okay.
And family was faced with some difficult times and probably some decisions to sell the company or not. And we're still here and we're family owned, right? We're the largest privately owned bullet maker, I believe, in the world. And we take great pride in everything that we do. Like we said, all the ammo is hand inspected. And then at the same time, I would say we're users of the product.
Yeah.
Family owned and operated. Steve and Jason Hornady are in weekly for sure. You know, they travel and they have sales meetings and they're doing a lot, but as far as their involvement in the company, 100%. So they still partake. And then on the hunting side, Jason is better than Steve. Steve's to a point now where he's got a little more freedom, where he is gone all fall. He's hunting, you know, not all fall. I shouldn't say that. That's probably going to come back to bite me. But, you know, they live and breathe hunting and shooting. And I would just build on that from our the employees here, from all of us. You know, it's awesome to come to work and be able to talk.
There's days before rifle season where nothing gets done.
Well, hey. Well, so I was going to take that a different way, Preston. I was going to turn it into a positive.
Just being honest. So, I mean, what is a positive?
Well, we come to work and talk about our passion, but yet that's work. So it's like, man, and that drives, you know. So I would say from the employee side, you know, the personnel that gets hired at Hornady are users. They are that person with passion. You know, they have on the engineering side especially, and our marketing side too, sales, you know, everybody, you know, has the education that they need. But if you don't have exactly that, but you have the passion and you're the right fit, you know, the passion just drives you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you've got all the schooling on engineering in the world, but this isn't your passion, it's a little tricky to, you know, get excited about bullets. And, you know, with everybody participating in this sport for a primarily good chunk, you know, everybody wants to make good, better products for themselves, which translates to, you know, putting a better product out there for the shooters and hunters out there. So, you know, I keep, from my perspective, I keep saying the passion, you know, everybody, for the most part, lives and breathes it here.
Yeah, and you said you don't do a whole lot of rifle shooting, right?
Right.
But, like, for an example, you've heard of 6.5 Creedmoor. We created the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 6 ARC, the 6 Creedmoor, the 6.5 PRC, the 300 PRC, the 7 PRC, all within the last 10 years, right? And those are probably what I would call the most popular rifle cartridges out there right now.
Yeah.
And they are because they work. You can only market something, you can only prop something up for so long until people realize that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But these things stand for themselves, and we're making products that people want to use and enjoy using.
Yeah.
And are better than what we had available before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome just listening to this conversation, man, because I feel like if you can be as big as you want, but if you start detaching away from what made the company great in the first place, there's, in my opinion, there's always some kind of loss that happens, right? And it sounds like Hornady is not only growing, but has kept what has made it great. And so that's even though I don't use your products, even though I don't know anything about guns, I can tell you that just the brand itself stands out because of that reason.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you noticing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the opposite is true with some of the other brands. I mean, especially in the archery world, once you get sold and you go to like a big giant conglomerate, and some of my favorite products over the years have just been lost from a technical standpoint, and it pisses me off, but that's, again, personal. So, I just want to say thank you guys for taking time out of your day. I really appreciate it. You've already mentioned the app that's free. You can go and download that. Are there any other resources available for people to go investigate your guys' products and be, I guess, become better educated on Hornady?
Sure. Well, the app, we also have a reloading guide app. Which is essentially our loading manual, all thick reloading manual. If you're into that, there's some information in there about the bullets themselves, but then also just Hornady.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see a lot of stuff on Hornady.com, but if you're technical, like I think your listeners are and like we are,
mm-hmm.
we have a podcast as well, and we've done a lot of deep dives on cartridge specifics, bullet specifics, ballistics in general. You can kind of get yourself overwhelmed with that if you really want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Give us a call. Talk to the guys upstairs. We go to quite a few shows in our world, in our industry, We go to a lot of different shooting competitions. You know, there's a lot of us around. So,
yeah,
you know, the biggest thing, and Jason preaches it day in and day out, you know, Hornady as a whole, Jason's perspective is, number one, we need to be easy to do business with.
Right.
You know, you need to make it as easy as possible. If that's communication, if that's, you know, getting a message across to a customer, if that's whatever, just number one, Hornady needs to be easy to do business with.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. Judd, Preston, really appreciate your guys' time today. So thank you very much. And you guys are welcome back anytime.
Hey,
thanks for having us.
Just let us know.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.